back to our sermon series on evangelism after having a great week last week with Mike and Alyssa. So far, we've covered what evangelism is and why we do it. We talked about how the heart of evangelism is really shining the light of Christ into the darkness of the world by living our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel and by looking for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus, share about our faith, looking to plant those seeds and water those seeds. And so that's what it is. The reason that we do this is because, I mean, it basically boils down to because Christ has called us to do that. And out of our love for him and he, really compelled by his love for us that he's shown us on the cross, we are motivated to really devote our lives entirely to him and then follow in his call, not to just live holy lives, not to just go to church on Sundays, but to let our light shine in our community, in our workplaces and schools. And so that's what motivates us to do that. We've talked about that. We also talked about what our role is. So we are the planters. We're the waterers of seeds. And God can use those seeds and the planting and the watering then to persuade people to believe. And so we have a vital role in what God is doing in spreading the church and the gospel throughout the world and throughout our community. And then last time we talked about our attitudes, that your attitudes need to be fitting for the message that you share and what you're doing. So we looked at Philippians chapter 4, talked about let your reasonableness be evident to everyone, and in everything by prayer and supplication make your requests known to God. So we have attitudes of reasonableness and prayerfulness. All right, so that catches us up to where we're at in the series. We have 2 weeks left. Today what we're going to be looking at, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to plant and water seeds. So it's how to, it's practical. We're going to talk about kind of a method that we see Jesus use in this story we're going to look at. You can look at this like tools of the trade. Tools of the trade. I was just in Ed's shop and talk about tools of the trade. My goodness, my head was spinning. If you haven't, it's like a museum in there. For all the different things he does. Like, I'm just blown away by what Ed can do. So I'm much less impressive, but I know more about my thing. So I'm almost done remodeling my bathroom. And so in order to do that, I need to know how to do several things. I need to know how to patch walls, because when I took stuff out, it left holes in the walls. Patch walls, you got to know how to paint. You have to know, I had to know how to refinish cabinets, had to install a new countertop and a sink and more. I also had to have the tools and the materials required for doing these different jobs, and I had to be equipped. So every job that you do, every task that you do requires some kind of tools and skills to complete it, and evangelism is the same. If we're going to let our light shine, if we're going to actually share with people, there's some tools that we need. We need to be prepared and ready and know what to do when those opportunities come. So you're sitting maybe at work and an opportunity comes up where you just kind of know the Holy Spirit's opened the door here. What do you do in those situations? That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. There are a lot of different methods out there that people have tried and that people are using. I was thinking through this morning ones that come to mind quickly. The Romans Road. Any of you learned the Romans Road? You walk through different, that's great. There's the Wordless Book, okay? That's like big time in CEF and in Discovery Land, the Wordless Book. There's a cliff illustration that you can write on a napkin where it has these two cliffs and you know, we're over here, God's over here, it's uncrossable, and then you have the cross that makes it crossable, okay? There's Steps to Peace with God. Billy Graham has the four steps to peace with God, those brochures that you can walk through somebody through. Ray Comfort has come out with some stuff lately that focuses on a presentation that's pretty abrupt or pretty confrontational with the Ten Commandments. So if you have a personality like Ray Comfort, that might work for you. The rest of us are like, oh, give me a napkin, I'll draw a picture. Okay. We heard, I remember one time, I think it was Perry Anderson and Tim Kep got up here and did a one-minute witness type thing a couple years ago. So there's all kinds of different methods out there, right? And some of those work with certain personalities of the person delivering them and certain people who are hearing them. Some of these work with, you know, and different ones work with different people. It's kind of a mixed bag of all kinds of different things. There is not a one-size-fits-all method that's going to work for everybody, except maybe the one I'm going to give you today that we see from Jesus, because it's really simple and straightforward. But because what we're going to look at today are there some very basic things that I think we need to take into consideration, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what your personality is and who you are talking with, and that's what's going to come up in this story. So I got the study guide brought up two things, kind of two how-tos, and that's what I want to preach on this morning. And as I considered how to do that, I eventually ended up in this chapter of Luke 24, this story about Jesus on his walking to Emmaus, this village of Emmaus. And that took place after he rose from the dead. I think it was the same day. He was walking on the road to Emmaus, and he met up with a couple of guys on that road that were traveling, and he essentially, as you read through the details, he essentially shares the gospel with them. He was planting and watering seeds, like we've been talking about, like he's called us to do. He was doing that, and he calls us to do the same thing. And when he did that with these men, it gives us a great pattern to follow, I think, as we plant and water seeds in people's lives. Plus, it ties in with, if you're going to be in a small group and look at the study guide this week and study through that. And so, if you're not there already, let's go to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at this story. So we're going to see this method or this pattern that Jesus used in sharing the good news with these two men, and I hope it's very practical, very simple. Any of us can use this, I believe, and I think that it just makes sense. So I want to read through kind of the first half of this story, which is going to bring us through. It's going to start at verse 13 and go through verse 26. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened, the things regarding Christ's death and resurrection. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?'" Okay, so I want us to look at this part of the story and look at what Jesus did. There's three places where Jesus does something that it records. There's one in verse 17, one in verse 19, one in verse 26. If you look at what Jesus did, you'll notice something. In all of these cases, what he did was he asked questions. Okay, so the first one in verse 17, he says, "What are you guys talking about?" Okay. I mean, it's worded in a different way based on the original language and the translation. It sounds too formal to me. I think he probably was, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" I don't know. Okay, but that's basically the gist of it. What are you guys talking about? Then again in verse 19, as they're like, "Hey, are you like clueless as to what's going on?" He says, "Oh, what's going on in Jerusalem?" Okay, what happened? And then after they answered his questions, you get to verse 26, and he asked another one. First, he kind of calls them, "You foolish ones." I don't recommend, you know, going there in your conversations. But he asks a third question then in verse 26. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Okay. So here you have Jesus. You're going to see in just the next verse that we're going to read next, he's going to plant seeds. He's going to share the gospel with them. But what he does here at the beginning, as he walks up to these guys and they don't know who he is, he begins a conversation with them. That's all he does. It's simple. He asks them very simple questions and begins a conversation. And so he found out what they were talking about, okay, what was on their minds, what they cared about, what was bothering them. You can see that they were looking sad, and so he found out what was bothering them. He took the time to listen to them, and he took interest in what was going on in their lives. He entered conversation with them, and by doing that, he entered relationship with them. Okay, very simple. When we're planting and watering seeds of the gospel with the people that we come into contact with, whether that's somebody you're working with at work, maybe it's somebody at school or on your sports team, maybe it's somebody in your family, whether you know them maybe as an acquaintance or a friend or a stranger even, one of the most important things that we can do is simply enter into a real conversation with them. Okay, we don't have to have a particular method lined up that we're going to use. And those methods that I went through before, they can be helpful at a certain point. But at least in the conversations I have with people, if I start with that, that's not going to go very well. It's very awkward. If I knock on a door and, you know, pull out a napkin and start drawing on it, it kind of goes along the lines of a Jehovah's Witness type experience, that type of thing. And so it's like, okay, but if we have a real conversation with them, okay, be willing to enter into a real conversation, take an interest in them, enter into a relationship with them, find out what's on their heart, what are they thinking about, do the same thing that Jesus did. And as you do that, there will be opportunities. It might not be in that conversation right away, it might be in another conversation that comes up, but as you enter into conversation and relationship with people, there will be opportunities to plant and water seeds, and then you can ask further questions. Even Jesus, he's like, "What are you guys talking about? What do you mean? What's going on in Jerusalem?" And then he got into a conversation that, based on what they were talking about, led to talking more about God, about what they believed, about what they were thinking, kind of faith-related questions. And the same kind of thing can happen in our relationships, okay? If we enter in asking questions and entering relationship, we show that we actually care. We don't preach at them. We learn about them and listen. And it's in that kind of context that we will be presented with opportunities to ask questions that make them think about what they believe and may give us openings then to share about what we believe. So I was surprised by an opportunity to plant and water some seeds this week. I was in the garage working on something, and Ayla brought me the phone and said someone wanted to talk with me. And guess who it was at this time of year? Nope. Politician. Okay? It was a pollster. Political pollster. And at first I was thinking, thanks, Ayla. But as the conversation went on, the person that I was talking to actually broke out of autopilot. It was very interesting because I asked her questions like, do you really care what I think? And the question she started with was a question about abortion. And I'm like, man, hate to have your job. Okay. She asked me what I believed about abortion, and I told her. And she asked me, why do you think that way? Like, do you really want to know? And she said, that's why I'm calling. And so I was like, all right. So I shared all about Jesus with her. And I said, I'm trying to seek him and follow his ways, and because he's shown me such kindness and grace and mercy, I want to follow him. And I can't see how he would support abortion. Okay, and so it was kind of cool. So I entered that conversation. I was able to plant some seeds with a pollster, thanks to Ayla. So thank you, Ayla. And it was a pleasant conversation. She didn't repent and turn to Christ right there, but that's okay. Seeds, planting, and watering, okay? So asking questions, having a conversation, entering into a relationship with people, and looking for opportunities. That's this first step. That's what Jesus did with these guys. It's a great step and a pattern for us in our context as well. So there's one more. There's a second step that comes in the second half of this story, very important step. So this is verses 27 through 35. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So there's a lot of things going on in this part of the story, but what I want us to see is right away in verse 27. When he had entered into conversation with them, he found out where they're coming from and what they were confused about. It was at that time that he began to use the Bible. Okay, so he didn't start with that. He used it when they had confusion and questions, and he used the Bible to answer their questions. I don't know if he did it from memory or if he was, obviously he didn't have Bible like we have because they had scrolls. Doesn't say, maybe from memory, okay? But he used the scriptures. And when he did that, then if you look at verse 32, it says that their hearts burned within them, okay? So what I see here is another very important part of this very simple pattern that Jesus shows us that ties into planting and watering seeds, and that is using scripture. So when it's time and when it's appropriate, when the person or the people that we're talking to are open to it and ready, we use the scripture and we look at God's word together, looking at verses and passages that pertain to their situation and the questions that they have or in that conversation. Okay? Why should we do that? The reason is that there is something different about the Bible than other books or than the words that we just are sharing. The Bible is the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. There's something different about it. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul tells Timothy, he says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. I think the NIV says inspired by God, breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness. Okay, so God is the ultimate source behind what is written in Scripture. He influenced the writers in various ways as you study kind of inspiration. It was various ways that he influenced the writers to write what they wrote. And when we're in conversations with people and there's an openness and a desire to actually find answers, it's at that time that we can use the Bible, and the Holy Spirit can work in their hearts to make the words of Scripture come to life. I think that's what was going on with these guys when their hearts were burning within them. Something happened. It's called illumination. I've experienced that before. You know, what it wasn't necessary. I mean, I remember experiencing that when I first believed. There was something going on inside of me as the associate pastor was, Pastor Dave was preaching, where my heart was burning. Okay, something was going on inside of me. And I've experienced that at different times too. You know, how many times are you'll read the Bible, you'll read a passage, and then, you know, 5 years later you get to that 10th time you've read that passage, and all of a sudden your heart is burning and it comes alive. There's something happening there, and that's the Holy Spirit. The author of Hebrews, and this is in a confrontational way, but it still makes the point. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Okay? The Bible is different than any other book. God is in, how do I say that? He inspired, he works through his word, his written word. Okay? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 13, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." He goes on in another place. He says, "The natural man cannot understand these things, for they are spiritually discerned." There is something different about the Bible. Okay? And like I said before, many times I've heard people say, "The Bible just has come alive to me." That's the Holy Spirit working through the inspired word. And so when we're in those conversations and there's an openness to God, okay, the door has opened in the person that we're talking to, it's important to actually use the Word of God to find their answers. We shouldn't be Bible thumpers, okay? Where you bang someone over the head with Bible verses right out of the starting gate, okay? We don't be a Bible thumper, right? People don't like that. But when the time is right and there is an openness, we should use the Bible. And in so doing, we're putting them in contact with a spiritual power that goes beyond just the mental or cognitive abilities. The Holy Spirit works in the hearts and the minds of people as they're reading the words that he inspired in the hearts of his prophets and apostles. And that's what Jesus did in this story. So he entered into that conversation with them, and then when the time was right and he could see that they wanted to know more, he brought them to the scriptures and their hearts burned within them. Okay? So I think this gives us a wonderful pattern to follow. I mean, I landed here because this tied in with the theme from the study guide, but it's like, this is super simple, but it makes a lot of sense. And you can see what Jesus did. You can see that it deals with real people in real conversations and a real power of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God. And so as we go about letting our light shine by looking for opportunities to plant seeds, maybe the first time somebody's heard, or water seeds, confirm what they've already heard by sharing more truth with them. As we're doing that, with the people we live with and live among, we care for them, we show them that we're interested, we ask those questions, we listen, we find out where they're coming from, and those conversations will go in many different directions. That's why I think there isn't a one-size-fits-all method. Okay, many, many directions those conversations can go in. And then when it becomes evident that the Holy Spirit is moving, we invite that person to look at God's Word together. And with the best of our ability, we bring them to passages that have to do with what we're talking about in that conversation. Or it might not be in that conversation, but you can say, let's get together this week. And then you can have a little time to look for some answers, because you might not have them for the questions that they're asking. Okay? So very practical, a how-to, and I hope this encourages you because it's simple and you don't have to memorize a bunch of stuff, okay? It's just very real. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the work that you do in our hearts, that as we go in this life, as we seek to make disciples, we are fishers of men and women, letting our light shine, Lord. I thank you that you are the one at work behind the scenes. And I know that you will put us in places and opportunities to share with people. I pray that we would care about people, that we would take an interest, that you would help us to enter into conversation and relationship with them, that you would make it evident to us when you are working in those conversations. And I remember you told your disciples not to worry about what to say, but the Holy Spirit would give the words. I pray that you would give us the words to say and that passages of Scripture would come to mind as we need them. Just help us to make these things practical reality in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.